Chapter 13. 13, of course, is supposed to be unlucky. Chapter 13. Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, there remaineth a rest to the people of God, a rest from anxious thought-taking, a rest from fear, a rest from doubt and concern. In this state of rest, the power of grace descends. The presence of God flows into immediate expression as our experience. Receive the gift of God without labor, without struggle or strain, in quietness and confidence, in arresting from anxiety and fear. Let God reveal itself. Let God express itself. Let God live our lives. Let there be no more I or you, separate and apart from the Father, but let the Father be our life. In conscious union with God, the mind rests. The human mind is no longer concerned with the problems of today or tomorrow, because the soul's union with God, the conscious realization of God, reveals God as the fulfillment of every need, even before the need is apparent. Concern, fear, and doubt vanish in the midst of fulfillment, and the true meaning of the words "fear not" is revealed. In conscious union with God, the mind of God functions as our mind, as our experience, and as our life. Then the human mind rests and performs its proper function as an avenue of awareness. This state of rest is an inner peace which is not attained by anything in the realm of effect. Even a thought or a statement of truth is an effect. And that is why using the mind to repeat stereotype statements about God often does not induce peace. It is not thoughts about God that result in answered prayer. Thought about God is not the creative principle of the universe. God itself is the creative principle, and God is known only when the human mind is at rest. God is the consciousness of individual being. Therefore, infinity is the measure of that being. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be taken from you. No good can come to you. No evil can touch you. You embrace within your own being the infinity of good. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that God is already established within you. You are that place in consciousness through which the infinite nature of God is revealing itself. Therefore, good cannot flow to you. Good expresses itself from within and pours out upon all who come within range of your conscious awareness of this truth. It is only necessary to refrain from taking thought, to relinquish all anxious, fearful thought, to be still. Be still and know. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, your peace, your permanence and security. Not in bomb shelters, not in bank accounts, but in thy kingdom, in thy peace. In that quietness and confidence, there is rest, protection, care, cooperation. In quietness and in confidence, fear not, fear not. I am with you. I will be with you, even unto the end of the world. Drop your burdens at my feet. Drop your burdens in the assurance that all good is embodied and embraced within your being. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you make your bed in hell, I will be there with you. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Only walk in quietness, in confidence, and in assurance. Walk without seeking. There is no peace, no rest for those who are seeking outside their own being. The kingdom of God is within. Accept my kingdom and be at peace. Accept my promise. Now are you the sons of God. Now are you my heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And all the heavenly riches are yours now. Now, not tomorrow. Now, not yesterday. There is nothing to be achieved tomorrow. There are no regrets for yesterday. There is only this living now, this moment of rest in me, of confidence in me. All power is established within you. Do not look to man whose breath is in his nostrils. Do not put your faith or trust in princes, no matter how high or how powerful. There is no power external to you. Never fear any effect. Never fear that which is created. Trust the Creator. Shall creation mean more to you than the Creator? Shall you love that which has been created more than you love the Creator? Can you fear that which God has created? Is there a creator other than God? Is there another creation? A creation apart from God? Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Do not fear what man can think, say, or do. Do not fear the inventions or machinations of the human mind. The thought of man is not power. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Never expect a blessing or fear a curse from the thought of man. The evil that men do rises no higher than themselves. All evil is self-destructive. It destroys only those who contrive it, but never those toward whom it is directed. Evil is only a power to those who give it power. Anything that you accept as a power apart from God may harm you, but of itself it has no more power than a shadow upon a wall. If you believe that another can injure you, or that you can injure another, then you will suffer, not from what someone else has done, or from what you have done, but from your belief that there is a power apart from your own consciousness. The harm comes not from another, but from you, because of your deviation from truth. You must come out and be separate from the belief that good or evil can come to you. Well, we all want to come out from the belief that evil can come to us, but we still cling to the belief that good can come to us. And that's just as much of a fallacy as the belief that evil can come to us. They both are constructs. They both are images and thought. Look at the, I believe I remember Joel saying, look at something that's evil and see if you cannot find a place in the world where that very same thing is good. Let's take the example of a senior citizen, a woman walking down the street in the evening, and a group of boys running up to her and yelling and grabbing her purse and running down the street. Well, at first glance, that sure appears as something evil. But a few minutes later, when these same boys are counting out the money, they're looking at that money as something good. Have you not noticed that good and evil are always connected? Someone has an accident. Oh, that's evil. Someone else comes upon the scene and rescues the person from their burning car, pulls them out through the window to safety. Is it evil or is it good? Which is it? And I have come to the conclusion it is neither. The good and the evil are in the mind of the person that's looking. There's no good or evil out here. Think about that. Think about watching the news and all the evil that we see. We see someone on a train stabbing someone to death from behind. We see a group of terrorists blowing up a school. It looks like evil. It's not. Well, how can you say that? Because I know the secret is that the evil, the appearance of evil, is in the mind. How can you say that? They just killed 13 people. Did they? If you were consciously aware of life eternal, looking at that same scene, if you know that nobody can kill life, then you would know, oh, that's not evil, but that's not good. Something else is here, and my mind is coloring it with good and evil. I don't want to see good and evil anymore. What is here? Do not fear any evil thought or deed which is directed toward you or anyone else. Do not fear any person, and above all, do not resent or hate him, unless you would bind him to you by the loathsome chains of hatred. You must understand that evil can touch only that person who is entertaining it. Therefore, never fear evil, never hate it, never resent it, but always respond with compassion. Your good may be evil spoken of. It may even be considered weakness. But do not let that concern you. You have no responsibility for proving anything, and you have nothing to prove. Let the world entertain its own concepts of God and man, of religion and prayer. Bless them which curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for their awakening, but never fear them, and never resent them. No good can come to you, because you are already established in good. No evil can disturb you, because God is the measure of your good. God is the infinity of your consciousness. God is the purity of your soul. Nothing exists outside your own consciousness. Think of that. Nothing exists outside of your own consciousness. Now, we have a choice. We can live in the world mind, the human mind, looking at a world separate and apart from God. We can live in the human mind, which entertains good and evil. Or we can live in the conscious awareness of my kingdom, my presence, myself. If there is no evil in your consciousness, there is no evil operating in your world. How can you determine whether or not evil is operating in your consciousness? Do you accept or recognize a presence or a power apart from God? If you do, then evil exists for you. Do you see something to hate, fear, or resent? Then you are seeing an image which you have created within yourself. Hatred, resentment, and fear are but figments of thought, the result of a self-created image, and are therefore without power, presence, or reality. God is the fabric, the substance, and the law of your consciousness. Evil is but a suggestion or temptation to accept a creator apart from God. This suggestion you must handle within yourself until you come to that place of rest, in which the Word of God abides in you, and you abide in this consciousness of truth. Abide in the truth that God is the only power, and you will discover that all blessings emanate from this truth maintained in your consciousness. Abide in the truth of God's kingdom established on earth. Abide in the truth that I am closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Abide in the truth that your names are writ in heaven, that you are the Christed Son of God, the image and likeness of His divine being, the manifestation of His glory. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let your prayer be a resting from words, a resting from thoughts, a resting from desire. Take no anxious thought. The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, will never leave you, even though every avenue or channel of good is closed. The Comforter is an activity of God within your own consciousness. As such, it is as much an integral part of your being as is your own integrity, loyalty, or fidelity. The Comforter is within you. It is the peace, be still, to every storm without and to every disturbance within. Open the door of your consciousness and let the Comforter speak. Let the Comforter be your assurance. Let the Comforter be your supply, your health, the harmony of your home, and the peace of your inner life. To live the spiritual life means to live in an atmosphere of absolute fearlessness, regardless of the circumstances. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It is I. Be not afraid. This is the greatest healing truth ever revealed to human consciousness. To the disciples, a storm threatened death and disaster, but the Master saw only another opportunity to reassure them with those comforting words, "It is I. Be not afraid." This same confidence enabled Jesus to stand before Pilate and say, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." It was the same power in Joseph that said to the brethren, "It was not you that sent me hither, but God. God did send me before you to preserve life." The circumstances confronting you may appear terrifying and disaster imminent, but the Christ says, "It is I. Be not afraid." God has strange ways of bringing you to Himself. Sometimes that which appears as disaster and the dissolution of that which you hold most precious is the very means of awakening you to the spiritual life. So never look upon temporary discord as failure, lack of demonstration, or the absence of spiritual vision and understanding. It was not lack of spiritual vision which drove Moses and the Hebrews into the desert experience. It was God leading them to a higher sense of good. It was not lack of understanding that sent Elijah into the wilderness to be so hungered that ravens had to bring him food. It was God proving to Elijah that there remained 7,000 who had not bowed their knees to Baal, and that even in the wilderness, "There am I with thee, and able always to set a table before thee in the presence of thine enemies." It was not failure that took Jesus up into a high mountain, there to be tempted of the devil, or that brought him to the wilderness without food. It was God's way of revealing that he was not to seek demonstrations of things, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It was not failure that placed the Master on the cross, that incarcerated Peter and Silas in a prison cell, that fastened an asp on the hand of Paul. No, these were God's opportunities provided to prove the nothingness of that which the world called an evil power, even a deathly power. Never look upon the discords and inharmonies of your life as if they represented a lack of understanding or a lack of demonstration. Regard these unfortunate circumstances as opportunities, which will be dissolved when they no longer serve their purpose as spurs to your spiritual unfoldment. Have courage to look at every person and circumstance that you consider harmful or destructive. In the silence, face the situation fearlessly. Face the condition of the person, and you will discover it or he is an image of your own thought. Therefore, there is no cause, jurisdiction, or law to support it. Okay, so what is he saying there? He's saying an image in your thought has no cause, jurisdiction, or law. Recognize God as the soul of every person, and God as the activity in every situation. Fear not what mortal thought can think or do, since mortal thought is self-destructive. Fear not the thoughts or deeds of man whose breath is in his nostrils. Ye are the temple of God, and God is in his holy temple now. You are the temple of the living God. Your body is the temple of the living God. Your life, your soul, your mind is the abiding place of truth. And if you abide in this truth, and let this truth abide in you, no evil will come nigh your dwelling place. What truth? Fear not, rest in faith and confidence in the kingdom of God. You are the temple of the living God. Your life, your soul, your mind is the abiding place of God. Abide in this truth. That means live in this truth. Live in the conscious awareness of this truth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So why all this struggle? I am in the very midst of thee, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Why struggle as if you had to seek for me and search for me? Why struggle as if you had to hold on to me? I will never leave you. I am with you always. I will give you water. I will give it to you. Do not struggle for it. Do not strive. Just be still. Let me feed you. Do not try to live by bread, at least not by bread alone. Live by every word, every promise of Scripture, which is fulfilled in you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Believe only, and I will give you of the hidden manna, which is invisible to the world, incompatible with common sense, and incomprehensible to human understanding. Hidden in the depths of your own being. I have meat to eat the world knows not of. If you ask me, I will give you water. Leave your dependence and faith in people, circumstances, and conditions. Deep down within you, there is a meat the world knows not of. There are hidden springs of water, hidden manna. All this is embedded and embodied within your own being. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. It is his good pleasure to give them to you, not to make you struggle and strive for them, but to give them to you through grace. Whenever an appearance of discord looms upon your horizon, oh my goodness, relax, rest, be at peace in the assurance of my presence within you. Listen to me, the still small voice, at the center of your being. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. You will never know death. You will never die. I give you living waters that spring up into life everlasting. If you listen for my still voice, if you rest in the everlasting arms, if you relax in me, if you let my every word feed you and be your bread of life and your staff, you will never die. My spirit is with you. My presence goes before you. I go to prepare a place for you. Stop fearing. Stop doubting. Rest in my bosom. Rest in my arms. Rest in my love and be at peace. Trust the I at the center of your being. Believe that I can do these things. believe that there is a presence at the center of your being whose only function is to bless, to be a benediction, and to be the instrument of my grace. Trust me. Believe only in me. Fear not. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Wherever we are at this moment is holy ground. In this awareness, we can relax and let the Father reveal its plan for us. God, the Father, is infinite. And that infinity manifests itself through us as our activity, whether it be that of a minister, physician, lawyer, nurse, teacher, healer, housewife, businessman, or mechanic. The work assigned to us today may not be of our choosing, but if, instead of kicking against the pricks, we remember that God is working out its plan on earth, and that we are here only to show forth the glory of the Father, there will be nothing limited, confined, or finite about our life or our activity. The Father, being infinite, manifests itself infinitely. We have no right to interfere with the divine plan. Our responsibility is to begin where we are, confident that the place whereon we stand is holy ground. That place may be in prison, a hospital, or a position of high honor. But however high or lowly, that place is holy ground. There we play the part assigned to us. There we remain until God moves us. We interfere with the divine plan when we let the little I decide where it should function, instead of being satisfied to let the Christ determine our activity. Now that's something that we must learn how to do. How do we let the Christ determine our activity? I can tell you in my experience, I wanted to be this or do that or go here, and I turned away from all of those thoughts. And I turned within to the Christ at the center of my being. Sometimes I call it Christ, sometimes I call it Father, sometimes I call it I at the center. But I turned to that and asked, please open the doors so I can see where I should walk. And then, sure enough, doors started opening, and I walked through them and was able to have a fulfilling life. I was able to earn decent salary. I was able to meet the right people at the right times. All this because I followed that inner voice. Nothing will bring forth such an abundant sense of life as the realization of our self-completeness in God. Not self-completeness in Jane or Jim or Joel. Self-completeness in God. This self-completeness in God is made manifest as the harmony and abundance of Jane, Jim, or Joel, but it still is not their personal achievement of abundant success, intelligence, or love. The wisdom of the Father manifests and expresses through every person who permits it to operate in his experience by recognizing his oneness with the Father. It is not too difficult to be what the world calls a go-getter, attaining important and influential positions, and glorify and magnify the personal sense of I. It is much more difficult to wait for the world to come to us. But if we once realize that the Christ is the real mind of our being, the real soul, the real wisdom, the real love, we shall find that everything and everybody will gravitate to that Christ, and our divine activity will be brought to our very door. Now I know some people are going to say or think to themselves, well, okay, so I'll just wait for my divine activity to come, and I'll watch a little football, and I'll just stay here and wait. Of course, that is not what is meant. What is meant is you wait while you're active. You do that which is put in front of you to do, but you always maintain a listening attitude, and you watch for the door to open while you're busy. Let's see, the best way I can describe that is I was working in a factory. I was making drills to put rivets in the wings of planes. But I had this feeling inside that I was supposed to be working with people. And I had no experience at it, and I had no idea how to open that up. But it kept pushing and pushing, till eventually I left the factory and I walked over to an alcoholism program and talked to the executive director, and he hired me as a counselor. Yes, it was a little bit less pay to start, but eventually I got my degree and rose up through the ranks and became the director of all the counselors at that facility. We have no right to interfere with the divine plan. If, however, in our egotism we believe that our success is dependent upon or the result of our personal efforts, we may find that success empty and fleeting. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house, to his own intellect, his own sense of wisdom, his own spirituality, instead of to God, the infinite invisible, the source and fount of his being. In going within, we do not turn to our own spirituality, or our own goodness, or our own strength, or our own knowledge, but we go within to unleash the infinite invisible. The only permanence is in that completeness which comes through God, through the realization of the spiritual nature of our being, and the ability to let it manifest and express itself in whatever direction it may take. In this stillness, as we touch this vision of our oneness with the Father, God pours its infinite good through us. We shall find that without any strain or struggle, leaves will unfold, little buds will bloom, and by standing still, active in the work that is given us to do each day, the fruitage will follow. You see, that's what I was trying to say. We stand still, active in the work that is given us to do each day. Each one of us has some kind of work to do today. If we do that work today without concern for tomorrow, in the realization that God, through the invisible Christ of our being, is ever pouring its essence, its substance and bounty into us, the next day something else is given us to do. Tomorrow there may be another mission, another work, or another activity for us. Nothing can keep our work from us. When the Christ has been realized, its activity can never be impaired, impeded, delayed, or hindered. God has a way of wiping away every obstruction. Nothing can prevent the fruitage from appearing in our life when its time has come. When that moment comes, the God force will thrust it into expression just as inexorably as the unborn child is expelled from the womb when its moment arrives to appear on the scene. The government is on his shoulder. As we listen to that I that is deep within our own being, we are led of the Spirit. We behold the hand of God reaching right up through us, in us, coming out into manifestation and placing its glory in our experience as our activity. We witness the hand of God within us as it offers up its good, our good coming to us from within us, not from without, but from the kingdom of God which is within us, not from man whose breath is in his nostrils, not from man who would give or withhold, or who could give or withhold. The hand of God does not withhold. The hand of God does not limit. Step by step, the infinite Christ leads us from one activity to another. It may lead us from the business world to the world of music, or from a world of family duties to the ministry of healing or teaching. The Christ can make of us anything it chooses. It has no favorite occupation. No occupation is more spiritual than another, so long as it is of a constructive nature. All are equal in the sight of God. All are the activity of grace appearing in infinite form and variety. Life by grace is lived with the understanding that tomorrow is not our concern, but God's concern. The grace of God does not bestow partial success or happiness, nor does it demand that which cannot be fulfilled. God brings the task to us, but grace also provides the understanding, the strength, and the wisdom to perform it. Whatever is necessary for the fulfillment of that task, whether it be transportations, funds, books, people, teachers, or teaching, is always forthcoming. Everything that comes by grace comes as fulfillment. Because we have more, more is expected of us. We can fulfill any and every demand made upon us if we realize that the demand is not made upon us, but upon Him that sent us. Yes, He will perform that which is appointed for me to do, that which is appointed for me to do, not that which I would like to do. I can of mine own self do nothing, but the Father within is equal to every demand. Divine grace enables us to perform everything necessary and, in its own time, frees us of undue burdens through the realization that God shoulders them. When God meets an obligation, he has a way of meeting it forever, so that it is not a reoccurring or a continuing one. Let us pour out our gifts of the Spirit to the multitudes, but let us never seek the multitudes. Remember, he said, when the word told him that he was to teach, it told him never to seek for a student. And yet the message went around this world and did a lot in the invisible planes as well. We do not go up and down the highways and byways, even of our family, trying to find somebody upon whom to force this gift of the Spirit. Because if we squander the gift of the Spirit on the unprepared thought, we shall find ourselves depleted. So we wait for the multitudes to come to us. Should the multitude consist of only one person, we wait for that one to come. We sit quietly at home, in our shop or office, with our finger on our lips, keeping our treasure hidden from the world. Those who are receptive respond to the light within us and recognize the glint in our eyes or the smile on our face. As they come, one by one, as the multitude, they come to us for bread, which we give to them, and cold water, and warm water too. We give them what they are seeking. We give it to them gently. We give it to them gradually. We give it to them with love, with joy, and with the power of authority. We can draw upon the infinity of our being, and anything will flow. Words of truth, compassion, words of love, healing, grace, finances, food, water, drink, protection, care, companionship, all these will flow forth from the Christ within us. Let us be reborn in the spiritual awareness of the infinite nature of our own being and our already self-completeness. Let our prayer be, "Thank you, Father. I am. That which I have been seeking, I already am. All is embodied within my own being, and it is only necessary for me to let it flow into manifestation. Nothing can be added to me, nothing can be taken from me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I live, yet not I. It is really God living in me and as me. God performs those things which are given me to do. I am that center of God being through which God pours its infinite good to this universe. God uses me as its instrument. My only purpose on earth is to bear witness to God's glory, to God's greatness, and to God's infinity, to show forth God's handiwork. God is my parent. God is my environment. God is my inheritance. This I that I am is not limited by any personal sense or personal consciousness, subconsciousness, or superconsciousness. It is limited only to whatever limitations are imposed upon God. And since God is infinite, there are no limitations. All that the universal consciousness is pouring itself into me. I let God flow into me, through me, and out into this vast world. I am come that ye might be fulfilled. I go to prepare a place for you. I go, that I of my being, that divine ego, prepares the way. My heavenly Father knoweth that I have need of these things, and it is his good pleasure to give them to me, not to make me struggle, not to make me strive, not to make me fight or labor, beg or plead for them. My good is mine by right of divine inheritance. I awaken in the morning with confidence, rejoicing in whatever work he's given me to do. Whatever that work is, I do it, not in order to earn a living, or in the sense of performing an erroneous duty, but with joy and gladness. I let it unfold as the activity of God expressing through me. As we continuously look to the Christ as the source and fount of our good, thus it will flow. As we place our complete reliance on the divine presence within, we become that point through which God shines to the world. And we willingly accept our role as a channel through which good finds an outlet to the world instead of looking to the world expecting that good to flow from it to us. All the Godhead pours out from us to those who do not yet know about their conscious oneness with God. Spiritual man rests in his conscious union with God and lets the infinity of good manifest. Never does he seek, never does he desire or want. He stands and serves. The more of a transparency for the Christ we are, the more of a servant we become. We serve as an instrument through which the Father feeds his flock. We become the avenue through which the infinite spiritual good of the divine source pours forth into visible expression. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. So that's our talk for today. Fear not, I am with you. Delve down deep into that eye of your own being. Abide in me, says I, and I will abide in you. And so you have nothing to fear. Whenever anything appears that looks frightening, right there, stop. Take no thought about it. Turn within to this divine eye and rest. You can take a breath. I. And abide in I. It's a wonderful way to live. I highly recommend it. We really do not have to fear anymore. Maybe we shouldn't watch so much of the so-called bad things happening in the world. Maybe we should read a little from the chapter Fear Not, close the book, close our eyes, and close off any thought about this world. And there in the silence within, listen. Listen to that inner voice which will say, I am come that you might have life. My life. Spiritual life. Christ life. Please have a gentle week end and a gentle week. Remind yourself a dozen times through the day, "Fear not, I am here. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I." Again, I thank you for drawing out this talk today. It may be one that we return to again and again when we are faced with a scary situation. But remember, it's not the words being spoken. It's the feeling. It's not the words. "It is I, be not afraid." No, it's feeling those words. It that I'm looking at is really I. I feel the I. And so I am not afraid. Now, when you feel these words, then it's no longer words. It's a conscious awareness. And the conscious awareness, when you have the conscious awareness, you do not need the words. You do not need the thoughts. You have conscious awareness of I at the center of your being. Rest here. Okay. Thank you. God bless. Practice these principles in all of your affairs, and you will see. It is I. Be not afraid. I am.